Hello and welcome to the Leader to Leader podcast, a Chime Foundation series where we bring you the best in digital health leadership. I'm Russ Branzell, your host for this podcast and the president and CEO of Chime, the College of Healthcare Information Management Executives. We continue to live and evolve through challenging times for healthcare professionals, their industry partners, and the people we all serve. Leaders across the industry have proven their talent and determination as they innovate and transform their organizations to meet the moment and shape the future. We're proud to know those leaders and support them here at Chime. Today, we are delighted to welcome Payman Zan, the Chief Strategy Officer at Cerecor, to our podcast. With a rich background in technology management and leadership in healthcare, Payman has held key leadership roles at Cerecor, Community Health Systems, Tenet Healthcare, and other consulting firms. His expertise spans strategic planning, program management, and governance, making him a valuable source for navigating the complexities of healthcare technology and the marketplace. At Cerecor, Payman plays a pivotal role in guiding clients through strategic planning and program development. Today, we're excited to delve into some of those insights and a little bit more about this great leader. Hey, Payman, a dear friend of mine. Welcome to the program.
Russ, thank you for having me, and thanks for all those accolades.
Well, you know, what it means when we get a lot of accolades in our career means we're probably getting a little older and longer in the tooth, but you've been doing this for a little while for sure and had some great leadership positions. First and foremost, how are you doing? How do you see the industry going? Just kind of like to get a level set of how things are going.
Doing great. This is actually a very exciting year for us. We are looking forward to 2024. We have some major areas that we are seeing quite a bit of movement in, for example, in rev cycle. And as you probably know, cybersecurity is top of mind, but also clinical optimization and other areas. And specifically in those areas, we're actually seeing some really, I want to call it a more precision in how we're going about it. So that's really an exciting area for us, and we're investing in those.
Well, I know Cerecor is based out of Nashville, but you're probably hanging out where it's a little bit warmer down in Florida. So maybe you are a little defrosted compared to some of the great north up there. So let's dive into a few questions here that you hit on. So you and the gang at Cerecor really see the marketplace right now, and you have a pretty broad swath of places you support. How do you see things navigating right now when it comes to maybe a little buzzwordy right now, but really kind of maybe hitting some traction with this concept of digital revolution and helping people kind of balance getting things running efficiently and economically and clinically, while at the same time embracing this whole new digital frontier?
You know, Russ, the interesting thing that in our conversation that has come about is how we are shifting, all of us are shifting into digital adoption, if you want to call it that, into other areas. As I mentioned, revenue cycle is one of the key areas that with the tight margins that we're seeing a lot of interest in it. And we think actually technologies like AI and advanced analytics will play a key role in that. And you know, within that, you can actually look into items such as value-based care migration, which we've been kind of lagging. Maybe that's it can help that, population health and other areas. But we're also seeing workflow or clinical workflow optimization, you know, in a way that we want to get the physicians and clinicians back into spending more time with the patients. So we're seeing major software and product companies come out with AI and other environments that can help these clinicians actually spend less time behind the screen and more time with the patients. That's where we're seeing a lot of these shifts. And as I mentioned, it's becoming more of a precision tools that we use. We're tackling one area at a time. We're optimizing that. And we're really reaping the benefit of those things. But we're also seeing quite a bit of concentration on cybersecurity. So what we started spending a lot of money in cybersecurity a few years ago, rightly so, except the fact that we weren't as precision because, as we saw, we're still getting these bad actors are getting better, and we're still seeing them come at our industry. with more vengeance. So again, we're seeing things like threat intelligence analysis, things that U.S. government does. We're bringing those types of disciplines into the industry as well.
Well, as you see this kind of unfolding in this next chapter of healthcare, you and I have been doing this for a long time. We've seen a lot of chapters in this book go by, but we're kind of entering this new challenge phase where we have financial constraints, labor constraints, so many things, while at the exact same time, we're supposed to be optimizing, as you said, so many things in our health systems, get them running efficiently, and all the attacks from cybersecurity, you know, which really challenges kind of the resilience and sustainability of healthcare. How do you see us addressing these key challenges to not just survive, but maybe even thrive in this new world we're in?
I think it really comes down to what we've always preached is prioritization. So let's prioritize on where we're spending our money, where we're spending our efforts, and what we're going to concentrate on. And those return on investments will be the highest return on investments are the areas that we really need to concentrate on. So one of the biggest things that we have with our clients is we go in there, and out of the 200 initiatives that they have, we basically know for a fact that 40% of them we can actually put to the side or delay them for a while we concentrate on the other ones. That's probably the hardest thing that people need to do. We also take a look at information that we get from like the surveys that you guys do at Chime. Like, you know, 41% of the last survey that we had, 41% of the folks said that cybersecurity is a top initiative, right? The second highest one was patient and consumer engagement. And so we look at those types of information as well and say, you know, what are the indications that they're showing, and where are they going with this one? So I think that's part of it. And then in our own assessment with our clients, we have revealed that kind of a systematic digital advancement can not only help them with their return on investment and cost, but literally save lives. And that's where, so we're getting more, as I mentioned, more precision, more prioritization, and better governance all around. You know, as I've been in this, like you said, this industry for a long time, and as long as we've been here, and you would think that we would have covered all of our hospitals and healthcare systems in the governance and prioritization process already, but there's still quite a bit of work to be done.
So that's interesting. You brought up a point there that I think often gets overlooked, and it's so easy for us to create to-do lists, and we're not very good at creating to-don't lists. And I love that concept that some percentage, whatever it is, 40, 50%, things we're never going to get to anyway. So we should just push them off the side and focus on the things we can do. That's great leadership tactic that you highlight there. So payment, let's talk a little bit about this, because as you said, you've been in our community a long time and been a vital part of that in many, many ways, both within Chime and within the broader ecosystem of really health IT. As you see kind of the marketplace, as you see the industry that we're working in, how do you prioritize both the need to collaborate and network and community build to stay connected to the rest of the world all at the exact same time? So many of the things you just talked about are new skill sets that we've got to professionally develop. How do you manage your time even to make sure that you're staying sharp, but at the exact same time, staying connected?
You know, we had this conversation recently, and we've just at Vive, and we're continuing this dialogue about, you know, prioritization in what organizations we actually spend our time with. So as you know, we've increased our participation in Chime and Chime members, CIOs, and other executives that are there. So that's an important one. We're getting more and more of our people going out there and getting certified, getting the training that they need. And we also applaud, you know, Chime's efforts in working closely with, you know, other professional associations like health, because we really need to go in, expand our reach. We have executives that are active member, board members, et cetera, of HFMA, ACHE, and other organizations, because that digital transformation and adoption spans much beyond the IT part of the house. In fact, IT is no longer a separate thing, right? It is an integrated part of every facet and everything that we do. So we do all of that, and we make sure that we are investing in the right organizations and in right, but also we have implemented sort of this continual learning and improvement environment at Cerecor, not only for our employees. You know, we have over 600 contractors that are working on a variety of different projects. We actually provide that continuous learning environment to them as well. We want them to stay current. We want them to stay current in not only their knowledge, but their conversation with people. But we go beyond that. We have this thing we call caring for the community. And we've spent thousands of hours and have been volunteering in so many different areas, in leadership, in, you know, packing cans, you name it, everything in between. And we also collaborate and kind of build this teaming environment beyond just Cerecor. I have a group of what we call CIO cohorts, about 40, 50 of our, you know, Chime members that we visit and we meet in person at Chime events, Vibe events, et cetera. And we learn from each other. Those are some of the more powerful ways that we can actually build and strengthen the community that we're part of.
So part of your job, especially as a chief strategy officer there at Cerecor, is be able to at least project the future. I'm not sure if you're 100% about, you know, predicting the future, but at least projecting the future and seeing where the industry is going. And that can often be very difficult. I think it was Bill Gates said, we massively overestimate the short term and way underestimate the long term impact of things that we're doing right now, from everything from AI to quantum. There's so many things emerging into our industry right now. From your vantage point, where do you see some of these trends really impacting healthcare? And who's it going to really impact the most? Is it the patient? Is it communities? Is it going to be the health systems, the providers? Where do you see the impact really happening?
Yeah, so I think that one of the big things that has come about, obviously, we come away from every one of these conferences and we're talking about AI, we're talking about robotic process automation and related items. And I think those will continue, but I think they're going to get, again, much more focused. So our chat GPTs of the world and Gemini, Google Gemini, is just the tip of the iceberg. It's sort of the fun stuff that we're going to do. Now we're going to take the different platforms. To give you an idea, one of our teams is looking at in our staffing and HR area, and there's about 11 different platforms that are very specific to that specific discipline. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at what Epic is doing in AI. Epic has rolled out, I think, about 11 different sub-products, and there are about 70 different ones that they're in the works. And so we're going to get ourselves educated, help with the clients, with you know, help our clients implement those properly. But we are also looking at, okay, how do you put proper controls around it? What are some of the policies? We've created an AI task force to actually tackle that, not only for us, but for all of our clients, because I think that's going to be one of the areas that we need to help the industry in managing that. And again, as I mentioned, I think that, you know, think about some of the things that we've been at for many years and we haven't been able to get to. Like, the shift to value-based care has been a difficult one. And I think that some of the newer tools like AI can actually help, and advanced analytics, predictive analytics, et cetera, can actually help with that. And that's where we're also investing. We actually have a group of people in our advanced data solution group that we call, that are concentrating on nothing but that. And we're bringing on resources from the industry. And by the way, these resources aren't just from IT organizations. These are resources from a variety of different disciplines to help with that process as well. That's where I think we're expansion of our technological abilities into every discipline across the hospital and healthcare system.
So it's interesting you mentioned this, because if you think about some of the stats that we just pulled out of our Digital Health Most Wired survey this last year, this last cycle we did that, it is amazing how many organizations don't have governance around some of these key emerging things like quantum and AI and so these different things. So the fact you're focusing on that and helping them with that, I think, is really a testament to the needs in the industry and addressing those. Part of that also is, understanding where the roles in these leadership positions happen. We used to just generically use the term CIO to represent all the senior leaders. Well, there's so many titles and so many different things. So we kind of use the concept of senior digital health leaders in organizations, because again, there's so many different titles right now. But as you see all of this, how do you interact with these senior digital health leaders, and how do you see their role changing on how they can and will influence not only their organizations, but the industry?
Yeah, I think as we've seen it, all of our friends that we collaborate with at Chime, et cetera, other events, they are now being called Chief Information Digital Information Officer, Chief Innovation Officer, you know, things. And the reason for all of that is that organizations are bringing concentration into that. This individual is in charge of not only our information, but also our innovation and moving to the digital front. But we're also seeing really tech-savvy executives. I mean, our CMOs, CFOs, COOs, CEOs, they're all much more tech-savvy than they were before, and they understand and they appreciate. And I think that's really helping all of us be able to push this digital frontier forward in the different disciplines that we have. And they're eager to tackle it in the right way and support us in the right way, because as you know, there's a lot of change management goes along with any kind of a technological implementation or technology implementation. So that's really helpful when we have, you know, savvy executives like that. But CIOs are also taking on additional challenges. It's just not even IT anymore. I just talked to a good friend of mine up in North Carolina, CIO, and who's taken on the, about a year ago, he had taken on the nurse shortage issue, and he's done a really good job at it. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're seeing that, you know, we weren't seeing before. And that's really some of the areas that we're really excited about. We're also, you know, probably the overused word is optimization. But as I mentioned, we are no longer doing generic optimization, application rationalization, et cetera. Those are still going on, but we're being much more precise in how we actually go about doing some of that. And that really requires a lot of the organizations to have not only savvy CIOs, but really savvy executives as a whole. And that's why it's so important for us to continue working with outside association, outside of IT associations like HFMA, as I talked about, and really cross collaborate across the industry, across different disciplines.
So I've kind of caught a thread through all your different responses so far about getting better personally, professionally. So as a senior leader in our industry, as a person that people watch and try to emulate, how do you approach both personal growth and improvement in whatever your next chapter is in your life and working, you know, currently at Cerecor and improving there, but at the same time, helping organizations and individuals professionally grow at the same time? Kind of this concept of the culture of continuous improvement is both personal and professional at the same time. What's your approach to that?
Biggest thing that I can probably leave with anyone is, don't get sucked into the vacuum of work, right? Because we have so much work to do that we can actually sit there and spend 40, 50, 60 hour weeks and not, see anything outside of our world and our work environment. So one of the things that I do purposely is reach out and connect with colleagues in a variety of different ways, purposely set time aside so I can actually do some research and read about other, you know, what's happening in outside, and then again, interact with a lot of different key associations. We've invested more in our class research, for example. We now have achieved our managed IT service outstanding class rating. We have been in the best places to work and clearly rated. And so that's four times in a row, fifth time's coming up. We get a diamond status this year. Again, really being involved with the whole community, not just our own community inside the work. That's really important. We're already spending probably a lot of time there, or 90%, maybe 100% of our time there. And my recommendation would be to reach out and at least spend 20% of your time with the outside community, because not only do you get a lot out of it, but you can actually provide a lot of insight. And that's the insight we all need. We need the insight from our colleagues, from other friends, people that are in different environments. Somebody in a small hospital environment may have some creative things to do that would actually benefit a large mega healthcare system. That's the kind of stuff that I think I can recommend to others, and that has worked for me as well.
So you mentioned Vive earlier, and we just finished up Vive a few weeks ago, and at least in all appearances, it was a pretty successful event. But we're going to be in your organization's backyard again in Nashville next year in February. So, I'd love to hear your reaction to what you saw at Vive, but also maybe give us a little commercial about being in your hometown again in Nashville.
Well, first of all, I can't think of a better place than Nashville, not just because of the fact that it's our hometown and it's a very fun town. But think about it. It's centrally located. People of, different locations can get there easy. And we have all the right accommodations. And it's not just country music, as you know. It's music central.
Yeah.
So, and it's also healthcare central. I mean, we have so many different healthcare systems. And I think it's going to be great because we're going to send a lot of our team members to Vive as it comes to Nashville. And I think we're going to get better participation, which is what we're looking forward to. I mean, I know you already have a ton of people coming there, but we're looking forward to getting more of our people there. And I know other healthcare systems in town. I've talked with them, and Ardent, LifePoint, CHS, my old hometown, my old place. And they're going to be sending a lot more people there. So I think this is really something that's very near and dear to our heart because of all those reasons. But I also have to tell you, I mean, I've been really impressed. I remember the first year we held Vive and it was good. It got better. We came to Nashville. It got better at LA. I think it's just on the right track. And we are really looking are excited about the evolution of this organization going forward. Now, you know me. My favorite is this fall forum, much more intimate. It's just a group of people that we all know. And so that always stays to be my favorite. But Vive is turning out to be a very good learning, collaborating opportunity for all of us.
Well, thanks for the free advertising there for the Fall Forum. Boy, we are unbelievably excited about that. It's the 30th anniversary of our foundation. We just celebrated the 30th anniversary of Chime a year ago or 2 years ago. So if there's one thing we do at Chime, we do anniversaries really, really well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Payment, as always, thank you for spending time with us today. And we really do appreciate your great insights, but more importantly, everything you mean to our ecosystem, to our organization, and really to healthcare as a whole.
Thanks for having me on your podcast, Russ.
Hey, we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for joining us for this episode of Chime's Leader to Leader podcast. As always, you can visit us on our website, chimecentral.org/media, or on Spotify to listen to all these amazing healthcare leaders. Hey, continue to innovate and transform and create the positive change to advance and improve health and care throughout all the communities you serve. For now, stay safe and God bless.